From Lubbock to Laredo, El Paso to Houston, and Dallas to Brownsville, we're Talking Texas with Pratt on Texas.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis done without a donor or management-controlled leash or muzzle. Our Lone Star story of the day, if you are Hispanic or any other so-called minority, and you do not follow your Democrat Party masters and vote as instructed, you are akin to a Nazi in Hitler's Germany. I kid you not, so says a Texas Democrat official, and it's really been their attitude forever. They're the party of discrimination. I mean, looking down on you. You don't have a brain of your own, and you don't have a right to have an opinion of your own. The Lone Star story of the day is sponsored by Allied Compliance Services. Look out for your people and your bottom line by creating a more reliable and safer workplace with a drug or alcohol testing program from Allied Compliance Services. Visit AlliedCompliance.com or phone 800-411-6906. We've got positive rig count news. There's other business news. And wildfires lead to the predictable. Calls for more government regulation. The cost of which gets passed on to you, and the benefits of which are generally non-existent. Listen to today's Pratt on Texas anytime, on demand, whenever it fits your schedule. Get a recording of today's show and other podcast extra interviews at prattontexas.com. Had a fabulous lunch today at Narrow Bar in downtown Lubbock, and I brought one of my really good friends who's a foodie friend, and he was so impressed. Isabel was too, but so impressed with it, and was talking about, I got to tell people to come. It's just so different, the atmosphere. That's right. Looks out over Broadway in the bottom of what was originally the First National Bank building and Pioneer Natural Gas building. I think people today think Wells Fargo. They weren't really there that long, but it's the McDougal Plaza. Anyway, Narrow Bar, fantastic. Fast service, fantastic prices, and really sophisticated, kind of upscale but casual. It's just a perfect way to experience the complete revitalization of downtown Lubbock that's been underway. And priced right, my friends, quick service, great food. The adult grilled cheese is fantastic. By the way, you can get that and everything under $10 for lunch. Fantastic. Had a good time there today and appreciate their service, but I really do like it. And what a great place for lunch, my friends. Now, their outdoor patio, best cigar patio in the, not very few people out there having cigars usually, but it's a very nice bar. They're open in the evenings. They're open for lunch Monday through Friday, start at 11, but they're an evening, really upscale bar. I mean, even their well whiskeys are very high end and really nice, especially cocktails, and the nicest, best outdoor area if you want to sit outdoors in Lubbock, I think. Anyway, Narrow Bar down in 1500 Broadway, looking out over Broadway. Attorney General Ken Paxton filed a contempt motion against Frisco ISD for violating a restraining order against the illegal electioneering. You remember we sued all these school districts because there were tons of them involved in illegal electioneering. So back in February, AG sued and got a judge issued a restraining order telling the school, you know, stopping them, prohibiting them from using government funds or resources to publish any additional statement similar to the original instances of their illegal electioneering, where they're using the taxpayer resources and lobbying for and against, you know, telling people how to vote and issues in the ballot. Just 4 hours after that restraining order was issued, Frisco ISD used an official account to once again voice support for certain policy positions in clear violation of the order. So AG Paxton asking for the court to declare contempt, and I think that's what should be done. I have contempt for all these big government organizations that use our money to fight against us. The Baker Hughes Rotary Rig Count is out, as it is regularly on a Friday. Last week was a big dip. This week we got a little increase in Texas, 3 more drilling rigs than we had last week, but we're still well below this time a year ago. We're up 3 to 294. This time a year ago, we were at 371 rigs seeking oil or gas. The U.S. rig count total went up by 7, Texas up by 3. Oklahoma and Pennsylvania both dropped. So how did we get the net gain? Well, Louisiana added 5 rigs in this week's report from Baker Hughes. Port Arthur's $7 billion LNG liquefied natural gas project that I told you all about when it was announced in 2022 broke ground this morning, official groundbreaking. They've been doing all the dirt work and preliminary stuff all this last year. But Sempra Energy had the big phase one groundbreaking ceremony today, according to KBMT. That is a massive project, so we can supply our plentiful natural gas in liquefied form to our allies and people all over the world. Now we just have to get the leftist political parties out of the way so people can use energy. Realtor Group, the National Association of Realtors, well, they've had to settle too in this lawsuit, so they're going to pay nearly $500 million in a settlement for this alleged fixing of sales commissions where, you know, you got to pay both sides, even though you didn't hire the people, you didn't negotiate it and all this. $418 million settlement with home sellers in the lawsuit, and they're going to drop their, eliminate their standard 5 to 6% sales commission. In other words, you should be able to, that was a cartel. You should be able to negotiate what you're going to pay whomever, and you shouldn't have to pay the other sides if you don't want to. Free market, and they've lost, and I'd already told you about this very funny how little local media and stuff covered this. This is ground-shaking stuff, and I told you how Texas-based Keller Williams was the first to step up and settle on this deal. They were a party to the lawsuit. Now the actual National Association of Realtors is settling in this deal. Inflation woes. Homebuyers need 80% more income to buy a home than they did 4 years ago. A good piece at the Center Square, quoting some numbers out from Zillow, a report showing you now have to have 80% more income to buy a home. Folks, I've always been shocked that people don't understand what inflation is. And by the way, there's no question that here and there you're going to have somebody that takes advantage of rising prices when their inputs didn't raise. Maybe their inputs rose 20% and they raised prices 30%. Of course, you could just say that there's a trend, so they're just hedging against the trend so that they don't have to keep raising prices as quickly. But you see how Democrats constantly, and Joe Biden and the Democratic Party does this, they keep telling you, well, it's just companies, they're just... There was this whole big stuff out again on Walmart that's been disproven about how they made all this extra money in the inflation. They didn't. You can go look at the real money. In fact, their increased profits are just really slightly above the rate of inflation. But they fool you. They tell you, well, it's just they're just taking advantage of you. No, people do not understand what inflation is in this kind of inflation. And by the way, thank you, Democrats and big spending swamp Republicans who went for all these giant bailout bills. Because that's what it's about. When you print more money, there's more of it in circulation. Thus, it becomes worth less. That's all it is. It's not that you do occasionally have inflation, market inflation, which is a good thing because the market, if government stays out of the way, the market corrects it really quickly. People end up innovating some other way and you have new products, new ways of doing things. That's when, you know, there's an actual shortage of supply or material or something like that. What we're dealing with is just a big tax on you. And the people don't understand that most of the time when you're talking about this manipulated monetary policy inflation that the Democrats and the leftists all around the world, all of them love, it is that they just made the money you have worthless. And that's the point. Cost to buy a house, well, you just have to have more income now because the money you have is worthless. If you had cash savings, it's worthless. By the way, it's why in inflationary times people go into hard assets like real estate. They do it all over the world, and the reason governments love it is they borrow money, then they deflate their currency. In other words, they have inflation, so they're paying back less than what they borrowed in real value.
Stay in the saddle. Pratt on Texas will be right back.
Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. Specialty Trucks of Lubbock finds good trucks and reconditions them to be ready to work for you and your business. Mike and Jason have repeat customers from all over the country, even Alaska. Call 806-687-1115 to get Mike and Jason working for you. Visit SpecialtyTrucksOfLubbock.com and see their inventory. Solve problems and save money with Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. SpecialtyTrucksOfLubbock.com.
If you're sick to death of the mainstream news, we invite you to check out 21st Century Watch magazine. We cover developments we have no choice but to watch from a biblical perspective. Not only is it priceless, it's free. Call 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. That's 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. A little hope would be nice.
A Texas Aggie from the big country says he visited Dr. Sylvia Zuniga at Dento Care in Costa Rica, spent about $7,000 on the entire trip with his wife, and yet saved over $5,000. He asked, how could it be any better? Our Aggie friend and listener wrote, thank you for recommending Sylvia. Her work and service was what you said it would be. Very good. It took me several months of listening to you and researching on the internet to finally decide to do it. So glad I did. Learn more about Dr. Sylvia Zuniga and Dento Care. Click the banner at prideontexas.com.
Working to save Texas from the uninformed and the left. It's your voice of Texas, Robert Pratt, with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. How did it become the middle of March already? Gosh, time flies, my friends. Our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services. If you're Hispanic or any other so-called minority, and you don't follow your Democrat Party masters and vote as they instruct you, you are nothing but a Nazi in Hitler's Germany, and so says a Texas Democrat office holder, big time on the U.S. Congressman. The story's out in several places, and headline at Fox News, Democrat Texas Congressman compares Latinos for Trump to, quote, Jews for Hitler, end quote. Directly says that. And standing behind it, my friends. But I thought minorities couldn't be bigots. Well, he's not, Robert. He's not a bigot. See, that's the point. Cheryl Swoops, the great Texas tech star and WNBA stars out saying that she's bought into all that CRT stuff. I have a story somewhere in the stack from a couple of weeks ago. Cheryl Swoops out claiming that black people can't be racist. That's right out of this Marxist stuff. Well, sure they can be. And this is a perfect example of how so-called minorities themselves are often among the biggest bigots in the world. Like that longtime chairman of the Texas Democratic Party in his first year or two, I remember reporting on the show, his quote said that they own brown people. Brown people have to follow what they tell them as Democrats. They own them. It's like owning slaves. It's crazy these people are so bigoted. But Congressman Vicente Gonzalez, Democrat, Texas, says that when you see Latinos for Trump, to me it's like seeing Jews for Hitler. What he said. No kidding. Hispanic voters, especially those living in border communities, know that Democrats are failing them at the border and economy and community safety. Vicente Gonzalez's comments are insulting and he should apologize, says the NRCC spokeswoman, Delaney Bomar. Vicente Gonzalez's racist comments are incredibly hurtful to our entire Latino community in the Rio Grande Valley, said Representative Myra Flores. While he continues peddling in hate and division, and that's all it is, hateful bigotry, I'm going to focus on policies that uplift our entire community, including lower costs to secure borders, safer communities, and a focus on faith, family, and more opportunity in Texas 34. Reach for comment yesterday, Texas Democrat Congressman Vicente Gonzalez stood by his remarks. I'm stating the obvious, he said. Myra Flores champions President Trump, who was quoted calling hardworking Mexican immigrants rapists and criminals, saying they're not our friends, he said. And that's a lie. And Vicente Gonzalez knows it. That's what the media told you Trump said. That's not what he said. It was extraordinarily clear what he said all those years ago when he announced his campaign on the escalator at Trump Tower. What he said was all of these people coming into the country, that many of those people illegally coming into the country were rapists and murderers and stuff like that. He never said that Hispanic people or Mexican Americans or anybody were all bad people. It was very clear what he was talking about. But, you know, does that excuse this? Even if he said that, does that excuse this? To say that if you have a different political opinion than me, you're Democrat better, you're master. Again, more of the plantation of the left that the minorities are on. That you are nothing more than a Jew for Hitler in Nazi Germany. And that's what this is the attitude that the Democratic Party has. I was listening to the great Ken Adams today after we had our great lunch at Narrow Bar. I have to be working, so I go to lunch very early. So during the noon hour, when his The Thin Line with Ken Adams is on, our Walk by Faith radio affiliate in Lubbock, when I'm done with lunch, I'm getting in, his show's on. And he was really talking about this. He's talking about all this move to legalize marijuana in Lubbock and these candidates, this Adam Hernandez guy who's a, you know, a Obama community organizer Marxist. And all these people pushing this. And he says, you know, it's so insulting. And I'm glad he sees it because I've seen it my whole life. I recognized it when I was in junior high school. It's one of the reasons that I really did go the Reagan way early on, because I read a lot of stuff that most adults don't even bother to read, but when I was a young person. And I noticed that all of the Democrat stuff, and this is the late 70s and early 80s, it was all that my friends, you know, my closest neighbors were black. I grew up with them. I played with them, rode the school bus with them. They're some of my favorite people, and by the way, some of the best people I've ever known. I didn't learn any of the dirty words in my house. I learned it on the school bus and out on a rural route. By the way, it's rural. It's not rural, R-U-L-E. I wish people learned to say rural, especially people from rural Texas. Rural is a town, flies the American flag in northwest Texas. Anyway, I didn't understand why everything I heard in politics basically was that all these folks are incapable. They can't do anything on their own without special programs. And then as I got a little older, I began to see not just special programs to uplift, but reverse discrimination. And as an employer, you know, I was an employer when I was a teenager in my first company. I saw these regulations and rules. I read all this stuff. I built us a corporate employment book, and I did it looking at some, you know, big mega national companies that were based in Texas. I think Texas Instruments was one of them, and others where I had access to their big employment manual. And I read all this stuff, and it's very clear that the whole concept behind it is that it's no different than the old paternalism that came, you know, the whole reason behind having Planned Parenthood, from Margaret Sanger and abortion to abort the lesser peoples, you know, the Semitic peoples, the peoples from around that are darker skinned like Italians, and people from Mediterranean cultures, and of course all black people. We got to suppress those populations. This was the eugenics movement in the early 20th century. Just like Marxism, it was out in the open. They weren't embarrassed of it. People glommed onto it because they bought all this idea that it was your racial makeup that made you indolent. I mean, you weren't a hard worker. You didn't have a work ethic. It was your racial makeup that made you prone to crime. This was out there in the open in the first half of the 20th century, and we've never really seen an end to it. It's this incredible sense, and it almost all, yeah, there's always an exception, but remember, it's the exception that proves the rule. The rule is that it's almost always people of the humanist, progressivist, leftist, Marxist, however you want to put it, whichever label, it's all the same crowd, viewpoint, that minorities are somehow incapable. And Ken Adams today on his show was going on about how it's quite obvious how they have no respect for us. You've heard me say that over and over. I'll have these quotes that say, look, why do you vote for these people when they think you're so stupid? They'll just lie straight to your face and say that the sun isn't up in the middle of the day and that, you know, day is night. And we find examples of this constantly. Here's Vicente Gonzalez telling people in this district, if you like Trump, you're a Hitler. You're a Jew for Hitler in Nazi Germany. And Ken was talking about this marijuana stuff. It's very clear that this is just the latest thing in the keep them on the plantation. Well, we're the party of segregation, so we've lost. The Republicans got elected. They integrated the schools. They did all this other. They finally got all these Civil Rights Act passed. They finally got the last big ones passed. More Republicans, percentage-wise, voted for it in Congress than Democrats did. And so we've lost. So what are we going to do under LBJ and the left? We're going to buy them off and build all these crappy, horrible government apartments through housing authorities. You know, we're going to give people stuff. We're going to have a welfare state and call it a war on poverty because it sounds good. But all it was a way to keep minorities down on the plantation in a subservient form. By the way, you hear this same thing from the left right now. Big story out how Tyson Foods wants to hire tens of thousands of these illegals that are here as asylum seekers. The left loves it. They love having their nannies. And remember all the scandals on that years ago. They love having the po-folk to work in the kitchens of their fancy restaurants and stuff. Biden keeps telling us, the White House itself is telling us over and over that the importation of all these illegals is good because we need it to, quote, fight inflation. In other words, we want near slave labor or super cheap labor to fund our lifestyles, to carry out our lifestyles. The point is, Ken was talking about the marijuana thing. It's just the newest iteration of this. Hey, legalize it so we can keep them all high so that they'll just stay poor and out of the way and we can use them to gain our power.
It's time for Pratt to breathe. Pratt on Texas returns in a moment.
Pratt on Texas Listener Club member Tom wrote, I just returned from Costa Rica. I went there on your suggestion and cannot agree with you more. This was the best dental experience ever. I had a good bit of work done and Dr. Zuniga was able to get it all done in one day. The amount of care and attention was unbelievable, from the work itself and the follow-up to make sure everything was great before I went home, made this a great experience. While root canals and crowns aren't fun, this is the way to do it. Thank you for recommending Dr. Zuniga in Costa Rica. I certainly will be referring friends and family. Learn more. Click on the dental care banner at prattontexas.com.
Do you know a veteran in need? Nation's Finest, through the VA's Supportive Services for Veteran Families program, helps veterans and their families struggling with rent, employment, and other housing-related costs. Today, Nation's Finest operates more than 30 locations in California, Arizona, and Nevada, helping thousands of veterans every year. Visit nationsfinest.org or call 1-833-468-9676. That's 1-833-468-9676.
It's an Abilene Sunday tradition. Mouth-watering fried chicken and chicken fried steak, fabulous veggies, served family style with yeast rolls and unbeatable homemade desserts, all from Pratt's favorite, Bell's Chicken Dinner House at Ambler and the Winters Freeway in Abilene. Bell's Chicken Dinner House serves you fantastic fresh food every Thursday through Saturday for lunch and dinner. And on Sunday, it's the perfect traditional after-church lunch. The catfish is fantastic, too. Visit Bell's Thursday through Sunday at Ambler and the Winters Freeway in Abilene.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's your Texan-in-Chief, Texas political swami. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. In memory of Rush, I will say brilliant analysis in that last segment. Great thing we have a podcast book. Mine's free. You can go back and listen to it if you missed it. All right, go to prattontexas.com. Oh, the late Rush. How we miss him. All right, big story. Not surprised to see it. Always see it. Normally see it out of the super leftist media, this time out of the Hearst newspapers, the Houston Chronicle, by Claire Howe, or Ho, I'm not sure how you say it. Smokehouse Creek wildfire highlights Texas' lack of regulations for utilities. Now, let me just start out by stipulating this. Texas utilities are a regulated industry, and they're heavily regulated. So, from the beginning, this is stupid and ill-informed, let's just say ignorant. And I wonder, are these people just low IQ or what? Because even though this was obviously the slant of the story and what the reporter was probably even told to go write about, because we see these ginned up by newsrooms every time there's anything. It gets particularly cold for a few days, we got to have more government regulation. It gets hot, we got to have more government regulation. It rains too much, we got to have more government regulation. It doesn't matter what happens. The answer is always government regulation. Well, I don't know, is this reporter and these, are they just stupid? Because even the story that gets written, even though the headline and the lead is slanted to make you believe we got to have more regulations, because that's why we're burning up, the actual expert, testimony or whatever, the quotes that this person gets for the story don't make that case, but they still write the story that direction. In fact, the second sentence is the blaze talking about the Smokehouse Creek fire was the latest to be linked to equipment belonging to electric utilities, including the devastating 2015 Butte, 2017 North Bay, and 2018 Camp fires, all three in California, and last year's fire in Hawaii destroyed the town there. And then you get to the quotes, though. So the first three or four paragraphs is, well, we got to have more regulation, except right there in the beginning. Left-wing, extremely heavily regulated economies, and you can't get much more government regulation than in Hawaii, and you can't find much more than in California. These are the ones you quote. If the solution is more government regulation, then how in the world does that support your case when those places are extremely highly regulated? And, by the way, with the pass on to the consumer costs that make electricity in those places extraordinarily more expensive than it is in Texas. I mean, you pay for it all. That's what I said. The actual results, the actual benefits of these programs are negligible in most cases, they're almost, you know, non-measurable. They're non-existent. But then she has to interview some people. So she talks to an A&M professor, Don Russell. He's an electrical engineering professor. He's not an expert on this thing. But he says there's basically no wildfire regulatory structure in Texas. But he points out, he has researched utility-linked wildfires for 30 years. But he says, should there be? That's an open question. That'd take a lot of discussion, but there isn't today. Well, what do you mean? We have standard liability. Just like wildfires that seem to have been started in Colorado by XL Utilities, XL Companies, utilities, they're going to pay up, and there are many lawsuits filed. They don't accept that the civil tort system is the best form of regulation, because it's not when you do government regulation, you impose costs on everyone, even people that are not bad actors, and everyone else gets that passed on to them in the cost of goods sold. It's part of the cost of doing business. The tort system is much better because it can be targeted at people that made a negligent decision, did something that was negligent, you know, and otherwise caused, and through that caused costs to be put onto people or damages. Now, you go through this, and she talks about fires on it, but the fact is the A&M professor just disproves everything she said. You know, later in it, there's no obvious trend over the last 20 years regarding the number of acres burned or the number of wildfires that have occurred in Texas, according to A&M Forest Service data. But, of course, they have to add there. Even though they just said there's no trend regarding the number of acres burned or number of wildfires, meaning there's no evidence that it's gotten higher. But what's the next sentence at the Houston Chronicle? The climate models project the risk and severity will increase. Now, I want to just say how stupid this reporter and most liberals and most people who aren't even liberals that buy this stuff are. I want you to understand something. No matter what you believe as an article of faith about man-made climate change, none of the models have been predictive. None. None of the models, this person quotes climate models as if they're, that we should infer, you know, really use them for any policy purposes. And this is why there has begun to be a huge turnaround amongst genuine scientists fighting back, because even some of them have the idea, they're not anti the idea of man-made climate change. They just said the models don't work. None of these models have been predictive. None of them have been within any. The temperature models, any of this stuff, none of them have been even close to anything right. So they're purposeless. So the data she quotes in the story, there's no trend in these wildfires in Texas. Oh, but climate models tell us. It says West Texas and the Panhandle region have traditionally burned most frequently and remain at the highest risk. Of course, because it's semi-arid. It's Great Plains with no dividers. There's no geographical boundaries. You load up millions and millions and millions of acres with grass. It's what we want for cattle to graze on. You spark it from lightning or anything, you're going to have wildfires. That's just it. And then they talk about how the Smokehouse Creek fire was caused by a utility pole that appeared to be decayed at the bottom and fell onto dry grasses, according to the Forest Service. And, you know, they're already the ranch owner. I think their claims they had informed XL to come fix it. And that's what I'm saying. A tort is much better. XL didn't want to take care of business. They're going to end up paying. But I want you to know that XL is a big man-made climate change advocacy organization based in Minneapolis. I read all their press releases. I'm on their deal. They are a big get rid of coal, get rid of all the things that work, and go to all these wind farms and solar stuff and all that stuff. They are a climate change advocacy company. So why are they starting wildfires? Because it's all bull. It's all political bull. It's posturing by these companies. And then her expert says fewer than 1 in 10 wildfires in Texas were started by utility equipment, Russell said, based on his research. So fewer than 10% have been. But, of course, what do we need to do? Regulation. You understand, any additional regulation, they're already heavily regulated, just goes on your bill. If you make them do this or that with the lines, it just goes on your bill as part of that wires cost, period. You have no say over it. You're going to pay for it. And then they say, well, we could add more sophisticated monitoring to help to the electric grid to prevent wildfires. I think that's crazy, but nevertheless, fine. And then they advocate public safety power shutoffs, more common in California. Yeah, California started that. That's where they turn everybody's power off. It's just crazy stuff. And my point with this is it's always what happens, and yet your neighbors, including a bunch of people claim to be Republicans, including elected officials, fall for this stuff all the time. Oh, there's a crisis. Why? Because in politics, all you have to do is say, well, we passed a bill. Doesn't matter if your bill did any. It's like Craddock's bill to ban handheld cell phones. Every single day I'm in traffic, I see people on them with holding them at their, you know, up and holding them in their hand. They don't even know it's illegal in Texas. And I told Craddock that. He got real mad. I said, this is just like the left. It's just another feel-good measure. And that's what it is. They don't care. You're not accomplishing anything with this kind of stuff. But it works for a politician because he can say, look, we acted. We acted. How many times have they said, we've passed an immigration bill, we've passed a border bill, and yet, you know, it's worse than ever? That's why politicians go for this stuff. In Craddock's case, he had a family out there in the district that lost their kid texting while driving and all that. And, you know, it makes everybody feel better, makes him look like a hero, but they don't actually care about solving the problem. Some might, but generally all that's going on in these cases is let's do something, take action. You know, everybody says, we got to do something. Pass a bill, say, oh, we did something. Didn't may not fix anything, like the war on poverty. Never fixed poverty, but we did something, and we can get on down to the next re-election.
Become a member of the family. Join the Proud on Texas Listener Club free at proudontexas.com. Members get a direct to Pratt email address.
Modern, unique, sophisticated, and I'll add well-priced, narrow bar on the ground floor of McDougal Plaza, 1500 Broadway, is a top place for Lubbock lunch. Priced right and served fast, Narrow Bar is the place to meet for lunch for business or just relaxing with friends. Take a lunchcation at beautiful Narrow Bar today, opening at 11 a.m. Overlooking Broadway with plenty of parking, Narrow Bar is the place for your lunchcation. NarrowBar.com.
Judson Eddins of Eddins Furniture, located at 19th and Avenue N in downtown Lubbock. Home of the Buy One, Get One Free Recliner Special starting at $5.99. Bring your dreams and imagination for your home, and we'll take care of the rest with affordable prices and fast delivery. Let our friendly staff help you pick out the furniture that you've been dreaming of. Family owned and operated for 2.5 decades. Come to Eddins Furniture, 19th and Avenue N in Lubbock, and check out our website at EddinsFurniture.com.
Shop with Judson Eddins. He's one of us. LSG Tactical Arms has been my official Second Amendment and anti-wimp headquarters for over a decade, and Steve and the crew are still working to help you get the tools you need to stay safe, hunt well, or upgrade your gun collection. You can shop with LSG anytime online at lsgarms.com. lsgarms.com. You'll see pricing and availability of a huge selection of firearms, parts, and accessories. Order online and take delivery at LSG Tactical Arms. Online at lsgarms.com or stop by 2650 34th in Lubbock.
The Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas brings you news and commentary of the Lone Star State without all the wasted time and staff chit-chat. Now, here's your Texas anchorman, Robert Pratt.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas on this 15th of March, the middle of March already, a Friday, 2024. Today in Texas history, in the Revolution, Texas Revolution soldier, Louis T. Ayers in 1836, was captured by the Mexican forces of General Jose de Urrea. This is during the Revolution. It was near the end of the Battle of Refugio. He was later freed because he gave a Masonic sign that was recognized by the Mexican general. In 1881 on this date, the sale of town lots began in Abilene. Abilene was established over the next 2 days when more than 300 lots were sold. Our look at Texas history sponsored by Hub City Title, Lubbock's local title company with over 220 years of combined experience, reliable and responsive with fast turnaround from Hub City Title's in-house title examiners. HubCityTitle.com, Lubbock's premier title and escrow company. This is the date the great big band leader Harry James was born in 1916. He and his family came to Texas when he was a child, moved to Beaumont in the 1930s. He played trumpet and led a band. Joined Benny Goodman's orchestra in 1936, made a huge name for himself with his fiery trumpet solos, and appeared in the band's 1938 movie Hollywood Hotel. He had so many hits. He stayed active his whole life, developed the boogie-woogie style for big band swing, which I love, and Harry James died in Las Vegas, Nevada in 1983. This is the date 167 years ago today, 1856, the sensational court-martial convened for the son of the Alamo hero, Colonel Travis. This was the court-martial of Captain Charles Edward Travis, one of the most sensational courtroom dramas in history, convened at Fort Mason. Charles, son of beloved Alamo hero William Barrett Travis, is born in Alabama in 1829, reared by his mother and stepfather in New Orleans after his father's death. He moved to Brenham in 1848, became an attorney and Texas legislator. Charles Edward Travis received a commission as captain in the 2nd U.S. Cavalry in 1855. At Jefferson's Barracks, Missouri, a fellow officer charged him with slander. He was also charged with cheating at cards and unauthorized absence from camp during a subsequent journey to Texas. My gosh, today, would the military care about any of that stuff? I don't know. Colonel Albert Sidney Johnson relieved him of command and confined him to quarters. At the court-martial at Fort Mason, Travis conducted much of his own defense and pleaded not guilty to conduct unbecoming of an officer and a gentleman. Colonel Johnson himself and other officers testified against Travis, and Johnson's wife, Eliza, commented in her diary that Travis was, quote, a mean fellow, end quote. He was pronounced guilty and dismissed from service. He spent a lot of time trying to get himself exonerated. It didn't happen. He died of consumption in 1860, which is TB, tuberculosis. Thanks to Hub City Title, hubcitytitle.com, for sponsoring our look at today in Texas history. Two Waco police officers were injured in, and another person injured in a wreck during a police chase, according to KWTX. Fox 7 tells us that police uncovered a murder plot in downtown Austin to kill a rapper at a rap show. They've arrested two men, a 39 and 38-year-old, have been arrested, and they were felons, and gun control didn't matter to them. They were possessing firearms, even though it was illegal for them so to do. The plot was uncovered when Jones was found in possession of a handgun, despite being prohibited from having one voluntarily. In other words, he rolled on his two of his associates. He squealed, said they were planning to kill another man that night. And so they've got two of them. There's a third one still not arrested. Colombian drug lord arrested in Texas. I told you about the Mexican cartel assassin that was in a hotel in El Paso. I think I mentioned that yesterday. Fox News has the story that the second in command of a violent Colombian gang was arrested in Texas this week, a 29-year-old, and was arrested in New Braunfels Tuesday. Wanted in Bogota, Colombia for all kinds of nasty murders and stuff like that. You think all this open border stuff isn't driving the crime and gangs and everything in your communities? If you think that, well, you're just an idiot. So you'll probably vote for Biden. Hostages safe. Suspect arrested after 27-hour standoff at a Midland apartment. 9-year-old girl safe. The woman who was in there, Christian Armani Milan, facing at least two charges of aggravated kidnapping. This began yesterday morning. I was following it. It went until 2 a.m. this morning when police breached the apartment. 27-hour standoff. Harris County's treasurer's been charged with DWI. Carla Wyatt facing the charges. She was elected in 2022. She's a Democrat. Just started January 1st, 23. Houston firefighters, finally, with the new mayor, Mayor Whitmire, they have ended this years-long impasse, and they got a new firefighter deal with them. It's an 8-year-long contract dispute, and making good on his promises, Whitmire has gotten in there and gotten it done. A tornado tossed a vehicle across a parking lot at University of North Texas campus over in Frisco. And last night, big hail. My brother has a picture up. My brother lives in North Texas, south of Denton area. Had punched holes all through the, I think, the thing on top of the pergola or something like that. That's what it looked like. Lots of big hail all across into Oklahoma and North Texas, down power lines, big hail. Expecting lots of hail and other weather anywhere, everywhere, you know, San Antonio region all the way to Houston, in fact, to continue to have dangerous weather. Hardest hit places in North Texas were Denton and Collin counties, according to Fox 4. Saw quite a bit of storm damage. All right, my friends, let's see. What out of the big stack next? Political story involving Governor Abbott. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but it's out in the Daily Mail, so it's not, you know, all over the world. Governor Abbott facing calls to return $6 million donation from TikTok billionaire after banning the app in state government buildings and leading the charge for it to be outlawed nationwide. Well, let me just tell you that he ain't leading the nationwide charge. He's just one of many. We don't let state-owned devices use it. And this is just silly and it's pure political BS. The investor's not related to the Chinese Communist Party. Millions and millions of people have shares in this ByteDance company through funds and everything else. And just because a guy that gave Governor Abbott, a conservative, happened to make a lot of money early on investing in TikTok in America, doesn't change anything. The problem with the parent company being related and to the Communist Party and being used for all kinds of nefarious purposes. It's just silly. But of course, this is what you would expect. Abbott, you know, the quorum, they're really playing this up at the Liberal Quorum Report. Abbott, to return that $6 million, the biggest donation in Texas history, because how can he take it? It's not the same thing. I mean, the problem at TikTok is its relationship to the Communist Party. It's not that all the users and owners of it that have invested in the publicly traded shares are somehow related to that. And there's a really good piece detailing this at the Texas Public Policy Foundation today, or put up yesterday, that originally was published at the Daily Caller. And I highly recommend it if you want to really understand what's going on here. The false dichotomy, to ban or not to ban TikTok. And one of the things that David Dunmoyer points out is this law, they're all telling you it's a ban on TikTok. It is not. The law does not single out TikTok. It simply says that applications controlled by foreign adversaries cannot operate within the borders of the U.S. It's not a TikTok ban. It's a cybersecurity measure asserting the country's not comfortable with the Communist Party of China despots obtaining our sensitive information and using it to subvert the free flow of information and blah, blah, blah. It's a very good piece, The False Dichotomy. Go look it up. I don't know where exactly you find it there, but go to texaspolicy.com or the Daily Caller. Look for David Dunmoyer, The False Dichotomy, to ban or not ban TikTok, and you'll understand a lot more of what is at stake here. There's also a lot of naivete on some free marketeers on the Republican side who, and again, the biggest thing to understand is it's not a hot-headed deal, a punitive measure against one company. It's a generalized bill that affects everybody, and it's in the national security interest, no question whatsoever. All right, got a lot of other things in the stack, couldn't get to this week, but it's time for the weekend, my friends. I hope you have a good one. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.
Hear all the great Texas music Pride on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country.